será difícil dar con su domicilio. Dime los basureros.
Welcome to Tijuana. Tequila, sexo, marihuana. Oh, welcome to Tijuana. Con el coyote Mayalón. Welcome to Tijuana. Tequila, sexo, marihuana.
Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida, mi amor. De noche a la mañana. Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida a mi suerte. A mí me gusta verte. Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida, mi amor. De noche a la mañana. Bienvenida, mi amor. Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida a tu pena. Bienvenida a la cena. Sopita de camarón. Bienvenida a Tijuana. Bienvenida a mi suerte. Bienvenida a la muerte. Por la Panamericana.
Welcome to Tijuana.
Chapter 3. Here we go. This shouldn't take long, Duo announced as he sent acknowledgement to the blockade and followed their docking instructions. Wu Fei studied the small space station visible from the viewport. It was an ugly duckling of a space object the size of a small building. A bunch of tubes, fuel containers, pods, and antennae, all lumped together. The blockade consisted of a dozen of these stations in a loose sphere around Freeport space. A Preventer 5-man spinet was docked there already, long, sleek, and deadly as a stiletto, a contrast to the bulky, unlovely space station. It was filling up with ammo and oxygen tanks at one of the station's spherical cargo pods before it left for a new patrol around the perimeter. Duo passed the spinet carefully and approached another of the station's berths. A clunk echoed through the hull and into the space inside the clipper as Duo docked against the station's clamp. Get your ID ready and let me do the talking, okay? Isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing anyway? Wu Fei muttered. Not as far as Johnny Lawboy is concerned. I meant our highly respected Preventer forces, of course. Of course. There was a further thunk as the station's airlock fastened over Scythe's. Duo bounced up and drifted over to the door, hitting the release. Officer Dinkle, what a pleasure, said Duo. There was no overt irony in his words, but there was quite a lot in the subtext. There was an answering grunt. Wu Fei released his harness and drifted over. The Preventer's badge read Tyrone Dinkle. He grunted a second time as Duo handed him a sheaf of papers. The cargo manifest, Wu Fei supposed. Dinkle went over them quickly, eyes bored and completely unfriendly. Who's this? His eyes flickered towards Wu Fei, even as he turned the manifest's pages. He noted Wu Fei's color and the look on his face, already unpleasant, degenerated into a sneer of disgust. Does he have ID? Yep. Give him your papers. The last was addressed to Wu Fei. He obediently handed over his usual cover ID he had ready. It showed nothing remarkable, and no criminal record that should give him any trouble getting in and out of Freeport. Dinkle scanned the ID and read the result with the air of one ready to pounce on the slightest irregularity. He handed it back without looking at Wu Fei, making sure the latter could take the ID without their hands touching. Charming. Then the officer turned towards the boxes. What do you have here, Maxwell? It's in the cargo manifest, Ty. Duo's smile was sunny. Dinkle gave the nearest box a hard kick on the lock, popping it open at the risk of making it unusable for future spaceflights. A gleam that only Wu Fei would notice went through Duo's eyes, but his smile stayed open and outrageously honest. "I know you like your hair, Maxwell, but this is ridiculous," Dinkle said slowly. Wu Fei glanced at the open box and then did a double take. It was filled with old-fashioned hair rollers, glaringly pink and ridiculous, in row upon row of clear plastic bags. His first instinct as a preventer would have been to tear right through that lot to see what could possibly be hidden beneath them. He hoped to hell that Duo wasn't actually trying to smuggle anything past the embargo now, when they had a mission inside Freeport and could not afford to get stuck in jail for a few months to a year. Dinkle rifled through a few rows, carelessly sending them floating. Duo caught them and waited until the officer had investigated the contents of the box before putting them back and carefully locking it, as if it contained delicate instrumentation. Dinkle was already at another box, poking through clothes. Baby clothes, Wu Fei noted, with nothing but dull curiosity, having run right out of surprise. Another box revealed several smaller boxes of cheap gyros, LED lights, and such. A fourth was full of old computer parts, most of which looked trashed. "The usual, then, apart from the curlers, which are weird even by your standards, Maxwell," the preventer sniffed. He opened two of the small cartons, shook out the gyros inside carelessly, inspected them briefly, and then stuffed them back in their box. "You got a copy of that manifest?" "Already downloaded to your station's computer, Ty." Dinkle grunted then. It was apparently the level of communication he judged worthy of his visitors. He propelled himself towards the airlock without another glance. Duo didn't look surprised, merely drifted over and shut the lock behind him. "That's all?" Wu Fei stared at the airlock once it was closed. "Yep, that's mostly what I get. Oh, sometimes they take a ship to dry dock and take it apart, but that's only happened to me once in the 4 years I've been passing by this station with Scythe. I don't get hassled normally. They know I'm clean and honest," Duo explained solemnly. "Maxwell, you've never been caught, but Troa knows what you're up to, and so do I." That got him the clear-eyed gaze of the innocently accused. "Whatever do you mean?" "Duo." "Anyway, it doesn't matter." Duo waved a dismissive hand and drifted back to the pilot's seat. "They know they're not likely to catch anything on me. I'll either hide it too well, or, if I have something bulky, I would be taking it through the hide-and-seek route." Wu Fei knew what he meant by the hide-and-seek route, the smuggler's highway. Freeport was surrounded by tiny resource satellites, patches of darkness against the stars, with a few warning lights to ward off incoming traffic, or floodlights bathing on excavation points or access zones. No other colony in space would bother with satellites this size. The price to conduct large-scale mining operations on tiny, scattered space dust like this would have been prohibitive. Freeport did it, though, by employing a lot of manual labor instead of using automation and the huge excavation stations other colonies used. The numerous scattered objects and the space debris produced by mining were a navigational hazard to preventer ships that patrolled the perimeter. They were also excellent cover for space pirates and smugglers to approach the colony without stopping at the blockade for the required verifications. Wu Fei knew that most heavy-duty smugglers would use Freeport's debris field to dodge the blockade, but nonetheless, remembering Dinkle's negligent 5-minute check, that was still on the limit of dereliction of duty. Wu Fei automatically rolled the man's serial number and name around his mind, along with a half-formulated promise to have a word with him at some point. Then he gave Duo a sharp glance. "Wait a minute. You could have smuggled a mobile suit into Freeport with that laxity. Why did you say you couldn't get my Browning in?" "Later, later. Gotta concentrate to get through the debris field," Duo muttered, As Scythe broke loose from the docking clamp and scooted towards the multitude of pinprick lights that promised death by vacuum if they crashed into any of them. There was a clear path through the field, Wu Fei knew, but that was reserved for important cargo vessels and commercial freighters only. Small-time flyers like Duo had to sweat their way in. The space debris and small resource satellites, towed or blasted into Freeport's sphere of influence by sweepers for the most part, gave way to a cleared space after 20 minutes of careful navigation. This was the outer docks, the ship construction area. Wu Fei struggled internally for all of 3 seconds before he gave in to temptation and released his harness to get a better look out of the viewport. He was acting like a tourist, he knew, but his fascination for vessels, particularly the deep space explorer, won out. The spaceships were mostly invisible in the eternal night of space. Only the areas where people were working were flooded with massive directional beams. The few he could make out with any clarity were cargo vessels, Earth-to-Moon types. The larger Mars cargoes and the deep space explorer for the outer planets that ESUN was working on were probably on the other side of the colony, whose massive frame was blocking his view of the stars more and more as they approached. Wu Fei faced that darkness like one faced the enemy. Freeport. In his mind, he could see the colony as clearly as it was highlighted on Duo's scope. It was wheel-shaped, though one of its 8 spokes was broken, smashed through by some space debris decades ago. The mass of small resource satellites around it, and ships dancing in and about its spoke and axis, put it in constant danger of similar accidents. If this worried the colony's inhabitants, it was to be supposed they'd gotten used to it. It gave Wu Fei, a colonist himself, chills just watching that deadly tango. But he'd have to bloody well get used to it too. The hub of the wheel, its axis of rotation, was brilliantly lit and heaving with space traffic, ships docking and leaving constantly. Way more traffic than was safe, Wu Fei could see at a glance. He shook his head in a mixture of horror and wonder. The warble of a comm channel prompted him to sit back down and buckle in. Duo exchanged a few words with Freeport's flight control and requested a dry dock facility. Then he leaned back in his chair and stretched against the harness like a cat. There'll be a delay in getting a dry dock. It might take a few minutes, but it's been known to take days. We can leave Scythe in space dock and go in with suits if that's the case. They should tell us in a sec. Why so long? Wu Fei asked, puzzled. Everybody's busy, Duo replied, as if that explained everything. And they need to have someone at customs to check us in. Customs? Freeport has customs? Wu Fei glanced back over his shoulder, as if he could physically see the blockade space station 30 minutes behind their stern. He thought that was customs. Sure we do. Duo rubbed his eyes. He looked as tired as Wu Fei felt. Gotta make sure ships don't bring dangerous shit, or people, into the place. Do they do a better job than Officer Dinkle? Wu Fei asked sourly. He was still angry at the man. The blockade shouldn't be such a joke. It was there to stop smuggling in and out of Freeport, and criminals and pirates escaping the law to hide there. The contraband it was primarily checking for was weapons. Freeport had been declared a lawless zone since long before Wu Fei was born, and stopping the circulation of guns in such an environment was deemed the first step to pacifying it. Except, so far, no government had ever gotten to that next step. They just tried to keep the worst of the scum from leaving the colony and the more dangerous contraband from entering. Don't knock the boys and girls of the blockade, Duo admonished lazily. It's a shitty job. If it makes you feel better, they're a damn sight more careful about what comes out of Freeport than what goes in. That means there's only a very few people in the coming in section. And most of those are concentrated on the big cargo ships, to make sure we're not slipping in Gundanium or suit parts or something. Officer Tiny Winkle is just some poor schmuck who's waiting for his tour of duty to end so he can go back to Earth, feel some gravs under his feet, get drunk, and get laid. That is no excuse. If all prison wardens were so lax, every penitentiary would be a war zone. That got Wu Fei a rare old glare. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph! Freeport was a penitentiary to start with, but that lasted for all of 10 years. And that was 83 years ago. Fuck's sake, we get that all the time. Penitentiary this, prison that. Like every guy aboard is still an escaped convict or something. All the prisoners they had there to start with died of old age already. If they were lucky. Not that it matters a shit anymore. Of course it mattered. Wu Fei's clan had been exiled from the Sino-Asian conglomerate, the one-time Chinese Democratic Republic, North Korea, Vietnam, and Taiwan, 69 years ago, and every member still remembered the specifics of their exile, down to the last detail, the politicians involved and the patriarchs that had led them to A0206, their new home, where they could live on their own strength and nurture their ideals in purity and solitude. Origins mattered. Its origins matter to Freeport, Wu Fei pointed out archly. In their case, the fact that they were a penal colony was what gave rise to their dubious status of independence, which let them... Dubious independence? Hey, mate, there's nothing dubious about it. It was even a charter under the Alliance. Maxwell, you know as well as I do that the Alliance used Freeport as a dumping ground for malcontents and problem cases that they didn't quite have the impetus to execute or imprison. The only reason they didn't invade and take over the damn place was that it was easier to cordon off than deal with the consequences of destroying it, and then facing homeless sweeper crews forming seditious groups all over the colonies. One of Oz's officers compared it to a relatively benign cancer that would metastasize if you hacked into it. There was a nasty twist to Duo's smile. And you people don't do the same? Of course not, Wu Fei said, biting off the words. The only reason ESUN is keeping away from Freeport and the den of criminality there is because we're a humanitarian government and our analysts have judged that the illuminated lunatics in charge there are serious when they said they'd blow the place up rather than surrender to any armed forces. The death toll would be horrendous. It'd sure look bad on the 6 o'clock news, I grant ya. But are you sure this decision doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Freeport builds the best motherfucking ships in the whole solar system? Including the Mars shuttles? ESUN and the colonies had their fleets completely hosed during the war. They even lost most of their cargo and passenger transports. You sure the fact that the citizens of Freeport are willing to do work 48 hours a day to make up for war losses has nothing to do with ESUN's patience with us? Duo was watching him through hooded eyes, waiting for his reaction. Because if you wanted us to give up and play nice, you could just stop all the ship orders. That'd put a stranglehold on Freeport and eventually drive all the people out without firing a single bullet. So, why don't your government do that, hey? Wu Fei had wondered about that himself occasionally, and he hadn't liked the possible answers. So he gave the one that the preventers adopted, and that he'd learned to live with, whenever he thought of the problem at all. I understand that this policy is designed to give Freeport the incentive to turn to honest profit, instead of relying on... Wu Fei gestured at Scythe's dashboard. Smugglers, pirates, and thieves, boy! Smugglers, pirates, and thieves! Duo gave him a wolfish grin that reminded Wu Fei of the days the man was called Shinigami. I guess you're right, Chang. We've not changed that much since the old days. We're still lifers. Every one of us. The old Space Force abandoned the jailbirds 80-odd years ago, when the colonies made their bid for independence and everything went foobar. Everybody judged that taking care of convicts was the other side's job, so nobody did, and the poor bastards were left to eat vacuum. They were given independence on a technicality, so that when they all died and Pen 003 hull breached and went to hell, neither of the two sides of that conflict would feel too guilty. And that's still the way it is. Well, those convicts survived, and so do we. Duo interrupted his intense monologue with a look at Wu Fei that was rather dismissive, weaving his fingers together behind his neck and relaxing against the harness. Yeah, he continued, I guess ESUN and Agent Chang are correct. We're a cesspit, a bunch of death row inmates still scrabbling for survival at the edge of the void. And you know what? We're still not ready to give up and let the good guys in to lord it over us. Your analysts hit it right on the nose. We will blow the joint sky high at the first sign of an invasion. Since that's the only weapon we have, that's the kind of insane asylum you're heading into. Still feel up to it, Preventer? 'Cause it's not too late to turn back if you're willing to shell out for fuel expenses. Wu Fei stared at his one-time ally. Duo was stretched back against his harness, hands behind his head and one foot on the console. His voice had been mocking on the surface. Yet, underneath, there'd been that strange pride that Wu Fei had known during the war. The whole world's against me, and that's fair enough, 'cause Shinigami is after its blood mentality. The other pilots had been so serious and committed. Duo had laughed and joked and killed like a fiend, with dedication and gusto. Shinigami, indeed. He'd had some grasp of the politics behind what the pilots had been trying to achieve. He'd fought for the cause, but he never seemed to take it half as seriously as the actual fighting itself. Maybe that's why he'd been such a good pilot. He was still the same, except this time, when he said we, he hadn't meant himself and the other four pilots. And Wu Fei found that rather worrisome. This wasn't just a place to live for Maxwell. It wasn't just a bolt hole and a base for his petty smuggling operations. This had become Shinigami's home in a much more fundamental sense. Though Duo was getting paid for this job, which showed his practical mercenary side was still healthy, Wu Fei found himself rearranging his informant's loyalties in his mind. Carver, Wu Fei told himself severely. Concentrate on catching Carver. Duo's alliances mattered no more than the dubious circumstances in which Wu Fei was handed the mission in the first place. The only thing that mattered was that Wu Fei was going to put a killer behind bars. Duo's home might be Freeport these days, but Wu Fei had none. Certainly not the small, drab, temporary apartments the Preventers rented to him wherever he moved to. Wu Fei's allegiances were, and always had been since the war, to his interpretation of justice. From the small details of stopping criminals to preventing the greater crime that was war. After 30 minutes of rather heavy silence, the comm beeped. A tired voice came through the speakers when Duo acknowledged.
Scythe, we have a dry dock for you. Ring 10, berth 49. Got that?
Duo made a face. Aw, man, that's gonna put me miles from home. Can't I get anything closer? I'm bushed.
Scythe? The small creak you're hearing isn't the sound of my joints after a 15-hour shift, and it isn't the sound of the deck coordinator's nerves slowly stretching to a snapping point. It's the sound of my tiny violin crying over the fact that you have to haul ass a few hundred meters more than you want to. Now, get the fuck into that cradle or get out. Over.
They love me on the flight deck, Duo said cheerfully as he nosed Scythe forward. Plus, blowing off steam is good for them with the kind of hours they pull. Wu Fei forbore to comment, not wanting to distract Duo as the pilot edged his way through an intricate ballet of vessels. There were a lot of small ships like Maxwell's about, and the Preventer's instinct was to start noting license plates, because most of them were probably on someone's wanted list somewhere. Also present were slow, awkward cargo freighters, sweepers hauling supplies into the station, as well as the massive company ships. They were bringing in the raw materials for Freeport's shipbuilding industry. Wufei noted the logos on the ship's sides when he could see them. Mainly Etoile Inc., an old Rumfeller company, that one, and Marsico, the other shipbuilding giant. Those companies owned the ships and bought the building supplies from all the other colonies which produced them. Freeport, the whole colony was officially its own corporation, was the contractor who put the ships together, and they could, at present, underbid every other competitor in the solar system, and had done so for the last 50 years. Hearing what he'd heard from the flight deck control, Wufei wondered that Freeport had enough coordination to hold a shipyard together. A very successful shipyard at that. But at what cost? From the very little he'd heard, Freeport workers lived in near slavery to the conglomerate that sent crews out to the shipyards or mined the resource satellites around the colony for ores and other raw materials. It was an ugly picture. Almost as ugly as the haven for pirates that was the other side of the one-time penitentiary. As a preventer and a human being, Wufei had felt the urge to come and clean this place out more than once, and fuck the shipbuilding industry. They'd just have to cut a bit off the big fat profit margins they were saving for their stockholders, rather than employ what was probably little better than slave labor. The savings they'd make from not having their cargo freights raided by pirates should compensate them, once Freeport Buccaneers were out of space. But, like a lot of corrupt and long-living systems, Freeport and the economics that supported it had their own inertia, one that would crush a mere preventer who tried to interfere. Un was just as helpless against it as he was. Hell, even President Peacecraft and her political system was pretty much part and parcel of the powerful commercial interests that ran ESUN now that the war was over. As for the preventers, they had too many other hotspots to deal with first. Earth and the colonies had been savaged by war for long decades. Rolina's ideals of peace, reflected in watered-down rosy pictures on the TV screen, was a symbol of what might come to be. Reality, on the other hand, had a lot of catching up to do to get anywhere near it. One day, though, Wufei stared at the colony spinning before them, berths, pipes, and comm antennae bristling out of it. One day, if ESUN held its promises, if the peace Wufei and his friends sacrificed so much for held its promises, if Rolina Peacecraft held her promises, then one day ESUN would have the time, money, and political impetus to address problems like Freeport and get the place sanitized. It was that sort of thing that got Wufei out of bed some mornings. He would put up with the shit if the peace held its promises. The spinning of the colony was slowing relative to them, as Duo skillfully matched velocity with an almost obscene ease. The bastard was still one of the best pilots of Wufei's acquaintance, even though he had a lot of competition in that department. Duo spun Scythe so that he was facing a rather small entry into the colony's hull. Wufei finally reacted. "Wait, why are we landing in the colony itself?" "I'm dry docking the ship. My buddy needs some more repairs, and it's easier to do that without a spacesuit." "What about zero-G docking?" "Oh boy, those bays are reserved for the cargo freighters, man. A tiny ship like Scythe wouldn't stand a chance to dock there, even if I waited in line for 100 years. Duo gave the console a quick pat as he spoke, reassuring Scythe that he'd not meant anything derogatory by tiny ship. "Dry dock will waste fuel getting in and out and away from the gravity, but it's better than spacewalking to repair stuff. Easier for you, too." "Me?" Wufei asked, startled. "We'll be dropping by every other day or so to give Scythe its repairs. That's when you can send out a transmission to the blockade on narrow beam. A hidden program in their computer picks it up and filters it to Barton and Un, so they know you're still alive and doing your job. You'll appreciate the fact you don't have to wear a spacesuit to do it each time. Oh. Wufei had asked Troa exactly how he was supposed to make his report, and Troa had shoved him onto the shuttle with a, "Duo will explain all that." Duo's acceleration and curve was starting to give Wufei faint prickles as gravity crept aboard. Scythe eased into the dock and, with a skillful burst of propulsion that used the mathematically absolute minimum of fuel required, Duo centered himself above the loosely floating cradle and let it magnetically latch onto Scythe's underbelly. The clang resounded through the ship, then the groan as the cradle was hauled in by its cables and fastened to the berthing ring. Gravity was coming back fast, giving Wufei pins and needles. He clenched his muscles, then stretched, getting his mobility and G-legs back as quickly as possible. Duo was doing the same. It was an old habit they'd picked up when they were 15 and frequently had to fight a few seconds after they'd landed at any one place. Right. Give him a few minutes to flood the dock. Oh, that reminds me. Duo reached back into the loose cloth bag that was now hanging ponderously from its handle. Here, you'll want one of these. Duo fished out a confectionery packet from the bag and picked out a thin wooden stick. He put it between his teeth and started to nibble at it. He held one out to Wufei, who looked at it as if Duo had handed him a dead herring. What is that? Licorice root. I'm going to have to ask why, aren't I? Wufei muttered, knowing Duo was waiting for it. He knew that small smirk at the corner of the mobile lips. Whatever Duo was nibbling on was giving out a pungent odor, like menthol and cough medicine. You'll see, Duo said gnomically. You'll be grateful for it in a minute. Wufei took the thing Duo was offering and sniffed it dubiously. It didn't smell that strongly until you bit into it. It looked like wood, though now that he was touching it, he thought it was probably an artificial imitation. From what he could see of the end Duo was sucking on as the pilot turned Scythe's systems off one by one, it was fibrous. You weren't meant to eat it, just chew on it. Wufei didn't have any bad habits, beyond being confrontational and stubborn, and he wasn't about to pick up this disgusting one. He leaned over and stuffed the stick into Duo's breast pocket without a word. Duo's eyebrows twitched, but he didn't say anything either, his hands dancing over the controls. All done, Duo announced, around the licorice in his mouth. My baby's asleep in his cradle, and the sniffers await. Let's haul. Wufei followed Duo to the airlock, picking up his knapsack and sword in passing. He hesitated as Duo grabbed one of the boxes in the cabin. Here, Wu, take one of the other ones. These are high-priority supplies. We'll unload the rest later. There's an urgent need for baby clothes and hair rollers? Wufei asked dubiously, slipping on his knapsack and wishing he had a strap for his sword. The ways of Freeport are mysterious. Wufei grabbed the box full of clothes and followed Duo, who'd slipped the cloth bag and duffel over his shoulder and grabbed one of the small space-proof boxes. Duo put it down next to the airlock and hit the release. The air whistled out of the ship, to Wufei's surprise. The air pressure in the docking area was lower than in Scythe. Freeport must be cheap with their oxygen and pressure. And then Wufei gasped and choked, instinctively covering his nose with his sleeve. What the? The sentence was swallowed in a cough and a moment of panic at the thought of a coolant leak in the vicinity. Wufei fought down the moment of alarm. The air permeating the ship from the dock was icy cold, harsh and tainted with some kind of chemical. Fighting with that odor was a pervasive organic smell that turned his stomach. Fierce, eh? Duo was smirking, hands in pockets and leaning against the door seal in a cocky pose. Bastard. I've unwrapped bodies in the morgue. I've had worse, Wufei said through clenched teeth. The smell had caught him by surprise, but it was nowhere near as bad as opening the body bag of a 5-day floater. Yeah, but you know how the morgue techs put a drop of eucalyptus on their surgical masks before working on the really ripe ones? This is the same. Duo had taken Wu Fei's discarded stick from his pocket and was twirling it agilely before the preventer's nose. Wu Fei glared at the harmless confection. But seen in that light, he reached for it, only to have Duo jerk it away. "Oh, I forgot that." Duo gave the stick a dubious look, as if suddenly unsure of his own product. I should probably tell you... Never mind. Take it. You're turning green. I am not turning green, Wu Fei bit out. He was getting used to the smell once the initial shock was over. Trust Maxwell not to warn him. Duo still had that urge to score one over everybody. Childish. And stupid. No, what was really stupid was the way Wu Fei couldn't resist rising to the challenge every time. He fought down the urge to just walk out of the airlock and prove to Maxwell that he could ignore the smell. Duo was chewing on the disgusting stuff, so it was probably expected of people landing in Freeport. Wu Fei wanted to blend in. Plus, he had a feeling the smell would get nauseating after a while, and he wanted to be at his best. He grabbed the stick from Duo, who looked surprised and almost ready to snatch it back for a second. Wu Fei bit into the piece of confectionery. The flavor was like a kick in the sinuses. Even the smell didn't stand a chance. It tasted like eucalyptus, as well as aniseed and licorice, and something that left a sparkly feeling on his tongue. It was fresh, if overwhelming, and a relief. Duo snickered, as if he found something about the situation amusing, and Wu Fei ignored him out of what was soon going to be fast habit, he was sure. They carried the boxes down the ramp Scythe had extended and headed along the docking ring. Wu Fei shifted the box lodged under one arm and shivered, though he felt a bit warmer now, probably just getting used to the temperature. The smell's not as bad in the living quarters. Still there, but not as bad. We're not too far from the factories here. Plus, recycles everywhere. You get used to it. Wu Fei followed Duo's monologue as they made their way around the ring. It was dark in the dock, lit only by emergency lighting and a floodlight near the door. You'll probably be in Freeport a while, but if we get insanely lucky, you might leave in a couple of weeks. Hey, do you guys do random drug tests? Piss in a cup kind of thing? 'Cause if you do, you might want to dodge that for a bit when you get back. Wu Fei walked two steps and nearly fetched up into a support pylon as he realized what Duo had just said. He whipped the stick out of his mouth with the hand holding his sword, almost dropping it and the box in the process. What? I said you might want to... Wu Fei surged forward two steps, slamming into Duo, pinning him against the dock's wall with his sword arm across the jackass's chest. What the hell is in these things? They? Duo hissed, eyes leaping towards the door. Hands off. Customs could be watching. With a bitten off curse, Wu Fei let go and took a step back, glancing around. It's okay for a blade to be cantankerous, but they rarely assault their handler, even for a joke, Duo said mildly, shaking himself and shoving away from the wall. Sorry, Wu Fei growled. Sorry ain't gonna cut it if you get us killed, Duo pointed out, voice still reasonable. As for the licorice, relax. There's a few boosters in it, that's all. Boosters? Wu Fei asked sharply. Caffeine, Lydec, and Ravers. Duo, those are illegal. Not the caffeine, I mean, but... It's very small amounts, Wu. They won't make you twitchy or high, just enough to give you a mild buzz. It's one of Freeport's few pleasures. Don't knock it. That reminds me, we don't have cigarettes here. You don't smoke, do you? Of course not. Good, Duo said, pointedly rubbing at his chest as he led the way forward. I'd hate to see what you're like on a nicotine withdrawal. Wu Fei glared at Duo's back in the near darkness, then at the stick in his hand. The lingering taste of licorice was giving way to the smell. He happened to know that the preventers ran checks for that sort of drug. Hopefully Troa could get him an exemption. He'd already bitten into the damn thing. Wu Fei growled internally and stuck the stick in his mouth again, following Duo towards the light. Duo put his box down on a little cart. When Wu Fei had done the same, they went back to get the other three boxes from Scythe's cockpit, leaving the cargo in the hold for later. Duo shoved the cart through a hole in the wall and went to the door. It was a typical dock door, an airlock in case the space doors behind them lost pressure. Duo moved toward them, then glanced back, taking the licorice stick from his mouth. Wu Fei, I'm telling you now so you don't flip out. This is a small space, and it'll take 3 minutes for the airlock to open on the other side. Sometimes longer. You want to go in with me, or wait for your own turn? 3 minutes? Why? Duo gave him a thoughtful look. You're going to be asking that a lot, aren't you? Hero never bothered. With me or after me, Wu? Make up your mind. I'm tired. Jaws clenched. Wu Fei followed him into the airlock. Why 3 minutes, when there was air on either side of the door? The boxes had gone directly through the hole to the other side, though there was an automatic pressure door over the hole to seal the duct in case of decompression. It had been open when Duo had shoved the cart through. The air flowed freely from one room to another. Hero would indeed not bother asking many questions. His focus during a mission bordered on single-mindedness. He'd ascertain if something was a threat, usually by his own means rather than rely on third-party information, and he'd dismiss anything non-essential. If he trusted Duo implicitly, then that would be that much less for him to question. He'd just assume Duo knew best. Wu Fei was trusting Duo with his life, but that didn't stop him from wondering what the hell was going on, even if it wasn't necessarily mission-related. Questions, however, might prove as dangerous as ignorance in Wu Fei's present circumstances. Freeport was, for all intents and purposes, enemy territory. The airlock space was tight. There were maybe 5 inches between their bodies, and the bags were an awkward bundle at their sides. Wu Fei thanked his ancestors that he wasn't claustrophobic. There was a gentle whistle as pressure equalized. Then nothing but their breathing and the chewing sounds Duo was making on his stick. Wu Fei tried to relax against the wall. These are the sniffers. Duo's voice was loud in the silence and the enclosed space, making Wu Fei start. He felt his hip press against Duo's duffel, and their knees touched as Duo shifted. What? Wu Fei interrupted his question. I thought you weren't going to explain anything, he whispered, very low. I'll explain stuff, but when we've got time. We got 3 minutes to kill now. You're new in Freeport, Wu. It's normal to have questions. Duo said this loudly, with a subtle stress in his voice. Wu Fei gathered that it didn't matter if someone overheard, even as far as Wu Fei's cover story went. He was supposed to be new to the colony. So, what are the sniffers? He asked, still in a low voice, in case he'd misunderstood Duo's nuances. The air in here is being put through a detector. The airlock on the inside will only release if the detectors pick up no traces of explosives or dangerous substances. There's also a low-dose X-ray taken of the people inside on a random basis, to make sure we didn't swallow anything or have something up, well, you know. Oh, what about the boxes? They'll be searched too. Oh. I didn't realize. A foot thumped his, and in the light of the small red locked signal, he saw Duo shake his head ever so slightly. Wu Fei swallowed the question and kept his surprise to himself, that they were being more thoroughly inspected here than at the blockade. Dangerous substances are, of course, drugs, hard drugs, not this candy, Duo added, lifting the stick from his mouth. Volatile chemicals, explosives, gunpowder, and stuff on the list. Wu Fei wanted to ask what the list was, but thought he'd better keep all the questions to himself. Apparently the blade he was impersonating was new to Freeport, but should still have some limited knowledge of the rules. Wu Fei, the preventer, didn't have that knowledge, thanks to this bloody last-minute rush job exile of a mission. He'd better not ask too many questions. He didn't want to trip them up. The rest of the 3 minutes crept by in silence. The air in the airlock warmed up a bit from their shared body heat. Mufei wondered how sensitive the trace analyzers were. ESUN had developed them as a way of screening for weapons and explosives, but since you needed to keep the people being checked in an enclosed space for a few minutes, it had been judged impractical. Too much of an imposition on the common civilian. Apparently, Freeport didn't have the same qualms. But Wufei would never have thought that Freeport would be checking this thoroughly for guns and drugs. Finally, the airlock hissed, opening towards the room. Maxwell, I'm almost afraid to ask. Why did you bring us hair curlers? A voice asked dryly. Wufei looked around as he came out of the airlock. The cart full of boxes had been pulled through to one side of the small, neon-lit room, and a man was going through the first one methodically, with more attention than Dinkle had. He was middle-aged, dressed a bit like a sweeper, in practical, tough tans and warm jacket. Salt-and-pepper hair, not very well combed, hung to his shoulders, along with a long mustache of the same length. He was holding up one of the hair rollers critically as Duo walked up to him. "Hi, Carl. Those are for the labs." "But why?" "They use the hair curlers to keep their test tubes straight. Those test tube holders they sell on the outside are stupidly expensive. I bought the curlers for 10 creds the whole box, and once wired together, they'll work just as well. They strip the plastic off so they can even go through the light autoclave. Immaculata Corrientes from the pathology lab asked me for them." "Can't someone, I don't know, just build her some test tube holders? Can't be that hard." "Probably. You got the time?" "Does it look like it?" "Okay. Are all these for the path lab?" "Various labs in the hospital. Just send them there and they'll sort it out. Baby clothes for the NICU, too." "What about the rest?" "Here's the manifest. It's just general stuff. Quartermaster will figure it out. These boxes are the only ones to be earmarked. Do you have someone who can take them ASAP?"
"The lab ones, yeah."
"I'll take care of the others tomorrow or next day, then."
"That'd be nice."
During the conversation, the man's attention had been split between the box of curlers. He was giving it a very thorough looking through, splitting open each plastic bag of curlers and inspecting the contents. And Wufei. The latter was being finely scrutinized, from the collar to his clothes to his sword.
"He's new," the man stated abruptly, looking at Duo.
Wufei stiffened at the rudeness of not being addressed directly, before he remembered the blade nonsense. He wasn't supposed to be questioned, according to Duo.
"That's right. What about, what's his name? Blue-eyed guy you had before."
Duo shrugged, looking away. Carl watched him for a few seconds, then dived back into the box when he didn't get a direct answer.
"Let me finish these, and then I'll check you guys through. Is, this one's staying?"
"We'll have to see." Duo chuckled, but it wasn't a cheerful laughter. It sounded a bit damp, and his shoulders slumped at the end of a half-hearted gesture. Carl's gaze was sympathetic.
Guess you can never know, heh, Duo. Damn, if this guy's new, that means I gotta fill in a load of shit on the system.
Carl blew into his mustache with an annoyed huff.
"Sorry, Docker."
"Yeah, yeah." Wufei found himself pinned by another stare, and this time it was ever so slightly hostile. He kept his face neutral, since he had the feeling there was a bit of context here that he was missing. The man checked the curlers, then went through their bags professionally, rifling through their clothes and toiletries. He even reached over and took Wufei's sword from his hands. Duo put a restraining hand on the preventer's shoulder as he was about to tear himself and his blade away. Then Carl took Wufei's fingerprints and passed a small pocket scanner over his inner wrist, with UV light that lit up his colony tattoo, registering it in a computer system that looked antiquated. Wufei wasn't sure why the man bothered with the tattoo. It was an old custom that people had used to identify newborn babies ever since space was colonized. Since Earth people didn't have it,
It wasn't used as an ID system. In fact, he wasn't even sure his own was registered anywhere, now that his colony was destroyed. Right. The man shoved the keyboard and terminal towards Wufei. Put your name here. Oh, Duo, does he know how to write? Yes, he does. Duo replied with a grin. Good. Put your name here. Duo will fill in the rest. Wufei typed in his name. Wufei Chang. Common enough in the L5 cluster to not be traced to his job. And left the space in front of the keyboard to Duo, who filled in the rest. Duo's name, vessel, and Freeport address. There was no requirement for Wufei's address, or any other detail that he could see. This is his first time in Freeport? Carl asked, as he hit a few keys on the system once Duo had finished. Yes? Has he been a black cap long? Nope. Oh. Carl frowned deeply at his terminal. But I vouch for him, Duo said, tone serious and final. Wufei could appreciate the import of those five words when he remembered Duo would be held responsible for his blade's infractions. Good enough for me, Carl answered with a nod. Welcome to Freeport, Wufei. He was looking at the keys he was carefully typing rather than at Wufei when he said this, which was fortunate because Wufei had nearly bowed in response. He caught the gesture in time. Duo's eyes had flickered his way, but he was now looking wholly unconcerned and innocent of any preventer infiltration that might be going on. "Kay, I'm gonna go hit the sack," he announced. "Been up for over 35 hours running with nothing more than a nap on Scythe. Come on, Wu. See ya, Carl." "Be safe, Maxwell," Carl threw over his shoulder, without looking up from his keyboard. The door out of customs had just closed behind them when Wufei realized two things. First, that he'd gotten past immigration procedures that put a lot of ESUN methods to shame without once showing his identity papers. Second, he'd made it onto Freeport.